This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. It's been almost a year and a half since Michelle and Bob Gay lost their youngest child, Josephine, or Joey, to her family and friends, who was one of the 20 first graders shot dead in December 2012 at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut.
Even before that awful day, the Gays had decided to move to Massachusetts to a Boston suburb and school district they thought would be good for Joey, who had autism. They made the move anyway with their two surviving daughters last year. And since then, Michelle and Bob have devoted themselves to their daughters and their work, which includes the Joey Gay Fund for Autistic Children and running Safe and Sound, a Sandy Hook initiative, a nonprofit formed by several Newtown mothers that advocates and educates communities about school security.
The Safe Schools Initiative has had one of its biggest recent successes in Massachusetts. Navigate Prepared, an Ohio-based company, has donated $20,000 of cloud-based emergency preparedness system in four schools in the districts where the Gays now live.
Michelle Gay visited our studios a little earlier today to talk about the Navigate system, her work with Safe and Sound, and life without Joey. Michelle, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Meghna.
So tell us a little bit more about what Safe and Sound, its full name is a Sandy Hook Initiative. Mm-hmm. What does it do?
The idea behind Safe and Sound is to create a hub where all school safety stakeholders can gather. Moms, cafeteria staff, law enforcement, school safety experts, everybody who has a stake in keeping the school safe in their community can gather around, and also in the national community. It's a place for folks to share resources, perspectives, because we're finding in our travels across the United States that there is a great deal of knowledge, and people have been working on this problem for a very long time. But the information is not necessarily, and the resources are not necessarily trickling down to the local level where they need to be.
And we see some of that in action in the Boston suburb where you live now, because Navigate, which is a company that how do we best describe them? They do school security, or they have tools that can be used for school security?
Exactly. One of their products, it's an emergency response information system. So this is a great example of a way to make the school safer by warehousing all the information that you need in an emergency, such as class lists, building floor plans, where there might be a child with severe medical needs. Mm-hmm. All of that critical information, we teachers tend to store that in little binders on
notebooks,
paper,
exactly.
Or on a clipboard.
And in a critical moment, I mean,
you don't have time
to go run to the binder.
No, and our teachers in Sandy Hook, they put their attention on the children, not on those books.
So just to be clear, what Navigate, this company, has installed mm-hmm. in the schools in your town now is a cloud-based system,
totally.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where all of this emergency response information that the school usually would have in a notebook
yes.
is available, what, over an app or
yeah,
a website, a smartphone?
Yeah, iPad, smartphone, laptop, in the cruiser. Most of our officers have a laptop in the cruiser, so they can instantly obtain that information, glance at the floor plan, and then also dispatch has it. So they can be relaying information immediately from their screens directly to officers as they're entering the building. You know,
can teachers use it too?
Yes, they can. There are different levels of access. So if I was, you know, an ordinary teacher, I would at least be able to get in and view class lists or pictures of, like, there will be a photograph next to each staff member or each officer that might be responding, which is incredibly helpful.
So you would actually know,
yes.
like, this is a person who's a genuine
yes.
law enforcement
this person
officer.
Belongs here.
Yeah.
You know, one of our teachers in Sandy Hook, when the officer came to release and clear the building, she wasn't going to let him in.
I remember that.
And she demanded that he pass his badge underneath. You know, this is an instant where she could, with the cell phone in her pocket, verify who he is, what he looks like, and you know, get some information there. So
Safe and Sound is really focused on everything that can be done on school grounds.
Absolutely, yes.
And I know you've been asked the question I'm about to ask you before, but I'm going to do it again because I suppose a lot of people might be wondering, what about gun control and things that could be done, you know, in society away from
mm-hmm.
from the school itself and not waiting for violence to arrive at a school's doorstep.
Absolutely. You know, there are so many ways for us to be attacking this problem of violence in our societies. We've chosen one that we feel that we have some control over, and that is the school grounds itself and the preparation of the staff and the students themselves. But certainly there are a lot of other issues that that we have to look at as responsible citizens in order to make our world a better place, a safer place.
At what point after December 2012 did you decide that this was one of the things that you wanted to do in response to what had happened to your daughter and your family?
It happened very gradually and very naturally, but it began for me on December 14th when I was in the parking lot waiting for the children to evacuate. I had seen one of my daughters evacuate with her class, and I was just waiting for my little one's class to come out. And I was just, you know, a lot of parents were around me saying, how could this have happened? And, you know, one father said, how did he get through security? You know, we had a locked front door, we had a buzz-in system, and we had a culture of safety at Sandy Hook. But one of the moms looked at him and just kind of sighed, and she said, you know what? We really didn't have security. Uh-huh. And I was just struck by the way that she said that. I mean, we did have measures in place. We did have plans and procedures. But when it came down to it, had we really been thinking in terms of securing that building from, you know, a danger such as an intruder? And the answer was no, we really hadn't.
You know, I was just about to say, though, that it's tough to plan for the unthinkable.
Absolutely.
But then again, there have been so many
intruders
and school shootings in the United States over the past many, many years mm-hmm. that it's not, sadly, it's not unthinkable.
It's true. I think we've, as a society, we've made a choice to not go there in our minds because it is one of the worst nightmares of a parent, of a teacher, of a student in school. There's no reason for events like Columbine and Sandy Hook to be a part of our nation's history.
Now, was part of your motivation also that your other two daughters
are... Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask if your daughters themselves were worried for a time?
Absolutely. One of my daughters was in the building. So unfortunately and fortunately, the PA system was triggered during the event. So I say fortunately simply because that's how the most of the school community learned that there was an incident that they needed to take cover from. Of course, unfortunately, because everyone had to bear witness to, you know, hearing the sounds of the shooting and the sounds of the attack. One of my daughters was in the building and was able to hear what was going on, and she could not tell where it was happening. The other daughter was in a different building. Mm-hmm. She was in a different school building.
Right. So it makes perfect sense that you would have enormous motivation to want to do something to increase mm-hmm. school safety. Do you mind if I ask how you and your family are doing?
We're doing very well. The Boston area has been really good for us. It's close enough to our Newtown family and friends, so we get to go back there often. But at the same time, we have control over it. So we come home to our new safe haven here. And luckily, the community is very proactive about making schools safer in a way that maintains, you know, our climate and our culture here that we have. So it's exciting to be a part of, and it's nice to be in a place where they're interested in what we're doing nationally.
In speaking with you and listening to you, I am bowled over by the strength and resilience that you and your family have. And I'm just wondering, for parents who are hearing this, who are probably to this day thinking to themselves, they don't know what they would do if something similar happened to them mm-hmm. and their families. What advice would you give them?
As far as trying to make their schools safer to feel...
No, I mean, I'm
overcoming...
Forgive me, I'm just thinking more personally.
Yeah.
Like, how do you face every day?
That's a great question. I do it with Joey every day. She's the reason I'm able to get up out of bed. It's hard on many occasions, and it is exhausting work. I can't really lie. The whole grief process is incredibly exhausting, and then for us, there's trauma to unpack as well based on the whole experience and the things that we've learned and the things that transpired that day. And then there are challenges that continue to arise, you know, as we move forward, we have like the challenge of stepping out and being in the public is difficult for us. But Joey keeps pushing us on. And to be honest, too, we're just a very faithful family. We're a Catholic family. That's been a real stronghold for us. It's been something sturdy to lean on. And I never realized how much I would need it until December 14th. But my faith has been an incredible source of strength, for sure.
Yeah. You're still a family of five.
We are, without a doubt, and that's something important to hang on to. We don't have her here with us in the same physical sense anymore, but we're still her parents. You know, her sisters are still her sisters, and it is a family of five. So one of my friends, Scarlett Lewis, she's the mother of Jesse Lewis, who died that day. She says, love never ends, and that is the truth. It doesn't end. It's a relationship that continues, and it makes it so that I can be productive while I'm here.
Yeah. Well, Michelle Gay is a co-founder of Safe and Sound, a Sandy Hook initiative. Her daughter Josephine, Joey, was killed in the shootings at Sandy Hook in Newtown in December 2012. Michelle, thank you so much for the work that you're doing at Safe and Sound, and thank you for coming in and sharing it with us.
Thank you so much for having me and giving me a chance to share the message and get the word out.
And if you'd like to learn more about the Safe and Sound Initiative, we've got information and links to the organization at our website. It's radioboston.org.
And that's it for our program today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.